up.
Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on time, live in the flesh. It is Monday, some whatever date this is. I don't know.
Good grief.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of Kings himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the guy who has been accused by another woman of sexual harassment.
No.
That's a serious charge right now.
That's the reason why I'm denying it, just like every other politician on television. It is Sean Black in the building once again. And who is our co-host again with us today?
We have the Vice President of the Me Too Movement.
That's right.
Tisha's in the house.
I'm sorry.
I have a feeling it's going to be one of those shows.
We are not. I'm sorry.
Hot Rod, are you here? Are you present with us?
I'm sorry. I was working my other job, sending out a text. Sorry.
Okay.
Got distracted.
Before we get into the pleasantries of doing the show, we want to extend to those that are listening to us around the country, especially in the South, that have just already been hit by this Hurricane Florence that has just ravaged North Carolina and parts around that area. Hopefully you're listening. If you're able to listen to us, you're safe and you're doing well, and hopefully you haven't had any damage or any loss of life. And for those that are listening that may have had that happen, our condolences to you, and hopefully you will be better off, and maybe we can bring a little bit of joy to you if you're able to listen to us for the hour that we have for you.
Well, the best way to do that is you do not talk for the next hour, and the fans will be happy.
Or we could just piss everyone off. How about that?
Okay, well, you know the number, ladies and gentlemen. 347-989-8402. Like Sean Black said, let's piss some people off. But let's talk about disaster. Earlier today in Brooklyn, New York, ladies and gentlemen, as Tisha, Sean, and I know, there was like a huge fire in a big shopping mall, a very popular shopping mall. And when I say huge, it's like, whoa, smoke fill up the clouds and the sky, like hell was on earth. And of course, when I saw the news, I'm like, it had to be arson, something like that. And why I'm mentioning this? Well, from the storyline, quote unquote, they capture a person in interest. And of course, they show the picture on social media, and it was a black guy. So, as my producer always tell me, always read the comments of people and to see their reaction. And of course, I understand we don't know the whole story. Basically, a car got exploded and led to over 150 cars being destroyed inside a parking lot of a mall that caused this huge fire. And I understand people are entitled to state their own opinions, but without knowing the facts, the names I've read on these comments about this guy, buffoon, ape, the N-word, it's like, am I surprised by it? No. Should I be upset by it? No. It's just like, wow. It's like, once again, we talk about racism and prejudice, it seemed like for the last 4 years of the show, and everybody's out in the open now about it. Without knowing the whole story, like I said, about maybe this guy started this fight for whatever reason, but for people to be upset, luckily, no one got killed. A lot of people did get hurt, but no one got killed. So, but are you surprised by people reacting? Especially from white people calling this man a buffoon and the N-word. Tisha?
First of all, I'm wondering why they're not wondering if he's mentally disturbed, as they do whenever a white person goes into a church and starts killing up people, killing black people. You know what I mean? When we have all these white kids that want to shoot up schools and things like that. So why we're not wondering, first of all, I think he was like 23 years old. We're not wondering if he was mentally disturbed, because from the picture that I saw of him, what they captured with his shirt off, whatever, the first thing I wondered was, he mentally stable? Was he okay? So why do you say, you know, ape and stuff like that before you wonder about what was going on in this kid's head?
Yeah.
So it's kind of racist
say that
to me.
Part. It's funny they say that part because I know what I say. Well, I know what I'm about to say is wrong. But when I saw the picture, I'm like, that cannot be him. Without even knowing the situation, but from the description from that picture, he doesn't look like someone that will start an arson. I could be once again, I could be wrong, but he doesn't seem, you know, capable of doing it. You know, we normally you think someone will be small, like an employee, or someone who has beef with somebody, or will go after the car. But he doesn't look like a random homeless, not homeless, but he was wearing a white beater and a shirt on his back. He seemed very calm. Like, wait a minute, you just started a car fire, or whatever it is, that started a massive fire in the building. You look too damn calm. Someone like you and me would be running for our lives right now, leaving the state.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Sean Black. Then I'll go to K-Dog.
It could have been actually much worse because we've all frequented this mall many times before in the past, and they've redone the mall, and you know how a lot of these malls now look like cookie-cutter versions of each other. There's usually a car dealership that takes over the parking lot there. This is a five-level, well, really a nine-level parking lot, but five levels are used for people that park, that shop at the mall. Luckily, there weren't that many cars there because this could have been a heck of a lot worse. As far as going into what you were saying, as far as the reaction in the comment section and all the other stuff, this is about the same as any time anything happens with race in any social media setting. If you go on a story about something, somebody murdering somebody allegedly or some shooting or whatever the case, as you stated before, the first thing you do, check the comment section. You have to weed out the people that are saying racist stuff to just be cute, or people that don't know what's going on, or the real racists out there. You can't necessarily say that everybody that puts something in the comment section actually is racist that puts up stuff, because there are people that just do things just to try to make themselves look cute. But am I surprised? No, because that's usually the first thing that pops up. Oh, if he's black, oh my goodness. And that's the first thing that pops into your head, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, if the guy was a Muslim, you know what the next step.
Oh yeah,
what people would say.
That would be
exactly
front page news in a national in a national newspaper. And that story was actually news. Was the first thing that they talked about on local news in the New York City area. So if that was the case, just for a fire in a mall, imagine, like you said, if this was a Muslim or a Hispanic or something along those lines. Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, K-Dog, welcome, and what do you have to say?
Well, what's up, everybody? Hi, hello.
Salutations.
What's going on? What's going on? Well, here's what I got to say about the whole thing. Once again, we see this ugly face of racism, especially when it comes to crimes. And I've stated this many times on both the menu and on the Absolute Truth Show. It's like whenever there's a suspect that's arrested for a crime, and especially when it is someone of color, that person is called an animal, a monster, and all sorts of other names. But yet, what happens to the, and I'm not trying to sound racist, but what happens to the white guy who walks into a mall and shoots up a mall in a mass shooting? They get called insane. Now, a crime is a crime. Yes, it was horrible what happened in King's Plaza this today, and unfortunately some people did get hurt, especially the firefighters who ran into action. But is it necessary to call the person an animal or a monster, but yet someone else who commits a crime is called less of that? It's called crazy and insane?
The first thing we usually hear, people get dehumanized when it comes to race, when it comes to anything negative in the media.
Okay. That's true. Why is that? What do you think, Sean?
Racism.
I think the reason why that is because we still follow these same racist tropes that go along with anything negative. African Americans, they're quote-unquote porch monkeys, or they coon, or you hear all of these words that describe African-Americans for all of these bad stereotypes. And the reason why that tends to happen is because it's to deflect and dehumanize the people that are involved, irregardless mm-hmm. of information, irregardless of the case, what may have happened, what the situation could have been. It could have been something completely accidental that happened, and then this guy got arrested. And the first thing that you bring up is all of the other stuff. Now, as Hot Rod usually says, and which is what you're supposed to do, is wait till there's more information. But even bereft of information, where the reputation's coming from is that same nonsense that we see all the time. The same ones that talk about all black people do is eat watermelon and drink Kool-Aid and beer. The same kinds of those racial tropes that happen when you see minstrel shows. The worst of the worst is always expected from a minority when it comes to crime. When on the flip mm-hmm. side of that, when you talk about the movie theater shootings, or when you hear about the school shooting, or you hear about the mosque
right.
shooting, anything along those lines, if anyone that seems to not be of brown skin or is not Hispanic or is not Muslim, they come up with other ways to kind of soften the blow. Oh, well, he's
exactly.
mentally challenged. Or, oh, he had a rough upbringing. Like what happened with the Brock Turner rape case. Instead of the judge throwing the book at this guy, he went out on a limb and basically said, well, we don't want to ruin this guy's life and he's still young. All those
yeah.
excuses that you normally hear to normalize
exactly.
bad behavior, seemingly, when it comes to somebody that is not of the same race as African-Americans or any other minority in this country.
Okay, well, I just want to touch base on that a little bit. And on to each your favorite part of the segment, the Me Too segments, where this past week at CBS, there was more sex scandals, well, more scandals that happened at CBS station. Last week, we talk about who got in trouble last week? Oh, yeah, the president of CBS got in trouble for sexual harassment and everything. And something happened at 60 Minutes, a very powerful news program, where the EP, the executive producer, got fired. Sean, tell us a little bit about what just happened.
Yeah, well, we're on the heels of the Les Moonves situation where he basically was re-resigned and has money coming to him. The executive producer of 60 Minutes, the second executive producer in the show's history, Jeff Fager, 36 years at the network, was fired basically because there was a story that was going around about him that was broken by Ronan Farrow, I believe, of the New Yorker magazine, stating that he had sexual harassment allegations in his past that were brought up. There was a reporter that was doing the story on him. Named Jerika Duncan, who works at CBS and has done stories for 60 Minutes. The problem with all of the stuff that was going on in the past was that he was initially fired because of a text message exchange that he had with Jerika Duncan. And what ended up happening is he threatened her, intimidating her, saying, well, a lot of people have tried to get rid of me and they've lost their jobs, and if you come and do this story without having any proof, it's going to be bad for you. Basically, the normal threatening deal with powerful people that know something is going to happen. Now, we know that when people do reports, they usually interview or at least tell the person that they're doing a report on that this story is about to come out, this is what may come out, et cetera, et cetera. For the person that is the head of a department at the place that you're working at, being the one that's threatening you, there is something completely different about this, and this brings an entire
mm-hmm.
story to the forefront of what has been going on at CBS over the last year and change. As you hear about President Trump talking about draining the swamp, CBS has to drain the swamp of all of this stuff that's been going on, because the story gets a lot worse. But I'll throw it around
mm-hmm.
to the rest of the panel, and I'll come back to the rest of that story.
Well, basically, Tisha, I'm like, yes, what the guy did was a threat and it was wrong. But do you think overall she should have reported the story knowing not all the facts, or she was just doing her job? Or do you think it's part of the so-called Me Too movement and the big scandal that's going on CBS, she's pushing it? I mean, basically, will you report a story against your own boss?
I'm going to start off with this. First of all, people have to stop blaming the Me Too movement, because it's no different than any other movement that gives people encouragement and the power to finally voice and come out and say what happened, first of all. So this has been going on for so long with men sexually, you know, harassing people, especially when you have the power and you know you can take their job away and threaten them. They got to do favors for you, whatever the case may be. I'm not going to state what kind of favors, but... But whatever the case is, we have to stop blaming the Me Too movement. Somebody asked me the other day, do you think the Me Too movement is going too far and some people are making up the story? No, let's stop the games right here.
No, Tisha.
They can have those feelings. Hold on, let me finish. They can have those feelings if they want to. But then I can say these guys were taking it a little bit too far with their attempts to do what they did, and now that you are putting the pressure on them and saying, this is not going to happen anymore and we're not going to take this, you're getting mad? And it's just like I asked before, why you're not hearing a whole bunch of like women sexually harassing men? Because men probably like it. They don't mind that a woman is flirting with them and things like that, that they shouldn't be doing also in the sense of power. You know what I mean? So it can go either way.
But like I explained to Sean, I'm like, what I'm about to say does sound like I'm making an excuse, so you may want to take it that way. When you hear these type of stories, and we've been hearing them nonstop, you normally hear, if you look at the men, they're mostly old white men who've been in power, like you're saying, Tisha, for all this time, for all these years. So that mentality, they have that mentality. If you do something, you will regret it. And we hear these fallouts of these men, especially the older men. It's like basically that's how they ran things back in the 70s and 80s. I'm not making 100% excuse for them, but I could see that happening. Is it right? Of course not. But I don't think without solid evidence, she should have reported the story about her boss.
She had the solid evidence. What he was trying to do was make sure that she didn't do it. That was the reason why the story went out, is that she actually had all of the evidence there. She was just telling...
But guys...
Yeah, because apparently the reporter...
Hold on. Because she had that evidence, do you think it's the right thing to do to report against your boss overall, evidence or not?
Is the thing. It had to be done. And in the interest of fairness, let me just say this. It was done because guess what? If it was not reported by the network reporter, it would make the network look really bad by saying, oh, look at this. They're covering up a crime. They're covering up an incident.
But how do we know that? There have been many other stories that the networks and media have been covering up for years.
Well, you know what?
This is no different.
No, but this is true, though, and I'm not denying that. But let's look at facts. Let's look at the facts here. For how many years that these incidents have been taking place? There's been many incidents that have taken place, and you know what? Now it's coming into the light. Now, are we going to say like this, oh, it was wrong? No, it's not wrong to report it. You have to. It is your job and your duty, because, of course, you got to look at the company as well. You have to report it.
Okay, so like Tisha was saying that about the Me Too movement. If it wasn't for this so-called BS, Me Too movement, would this story have been published, Sean?
Well,
the Me Too movement started the ball in getting these accusations actually believed. That was the main problem.
I asked, do you not have the Me Too movement, would the story would have continued?
I'll give you the answer to that.
I don't think so, and here's why. As I just stated before, the whole premise of the Me Too movement is to get accusations believed. If there's anything that has happened to any of the women that have been involved in these kinds of situations, is that although something may have happened, it wouldn't have gotten any further because they would not have been believed. And I'll add to that with saying this. The extra part of this story that people don't realize is the fostering of the environment that's been going on at CBS. We've had within a year three prominent people. We had Charlie Rose get fired from CBS.
Yeah.
We had Les Moonves resigning, and he potentially has $100 million up in the air that may come to him or not, depending. We have the Jeff Fagers incident, and the story that I actually told Hot Rod during the week, which came up, was if you guys remember this TV show called Designing Women that came on back in the late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah.
Created by a woman named Linda Joyce Bloodworth. She had a deal with CBS back then, because of the success of Designing Women, to do 5 series within that, and some of them dealing with women and strong women, et cetera, et cetera. She was given $50 million for her company to develop 5 shows. She came up with 5 pilots before Les Moonves became president. That was no problem. Les Moonves came on and became president of the network, and those shows were all shot down. And the thinking is, especially from her point of view, was that Les Moonves did not want to have shows with strong women prominently showed on the network, and it goes by the showing of what was on the network at the time. You had, like, Texas Ranger with Chuck Norris, and it had a lot of manly stuff, comedy, et cetera, et cetera. But they weren't strong, independent women's shows that, like Designing Women showcased. Those shows were far and few between on CBS. And it shows because of the pattern that happened over the last year.
Okay, we have a new caller. I will get to you in one minute. Keisha,
I just wanted to say something real quick with the Me Too movement. It's more for Hollywood and the networks and things like that to bring out those executives as well. But you have to also remember in the workplace, people have been talking about sexual harassment. People have gotten fired for that and things like that. This is more publicized for the media, more so the media attention. If you look at everything that they keep on referring to Me Too, I'm thinking all this Me Too stuff has been going on in your local workplace as well. It's not just Hollywood, but that's how they keep on publicizing it.
So the distinction, I think, Hot Rod, is the Me Too movement put a face on something that started to get something going that would not have gotten a push.
Right, that would not have been, another sector to the sexual harassment.
Yeah, but unfortunately, there will be some good sides and some bad sides, and there will be some bad flips because of this movement.
The bad side sometimes it's hard to even prove that you were raped, prove that you were molested. I remember when we did, Sean Black, what's that called that you did, a segment on
the rape culture.
Right. And you even said that, like, that's something so hard to prove with the molestation and things like that.
Exactly.
It's very hard to prove.
It is, because everyone wants to see concrete evidence. All right, go ahead, Hot Rod.
No. I'm giving the floor to you. I'm being nice for you.
Yeah. Oh, good. All right, yeah, because you're always rude to my ass, so anyway.
Okay, come on, dog. You're wasting time. Come on.
I won't waste time. But then after, listen. With the way that the rape culture, it's once again the first thing they'll ask: what was the victim wearing? Did the victim entice the aggressor? You know, all that kind of stuff. That comes out with it. That's what I want to say about it. And time and time again, we hear about this.
Opposed to anything.
Exactly. There is blame it on the victim, and that's the sad part about it.
Oh, okay. On that note, talk about another Me Too movement. There's another story going on, and of course, Tisha, my question to you: once we hear the story, where is the Black Lives Matter? So keep that in mind. We talked about this topic last. Hello.
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Yeah, we're still here. Yeah, we can still hear you.
I think hold on, caller.
Yes.
Hi. Yes, you on the air? Hi.
Greetings. Yes. I have a comment that is actually based on a question. But I want to give this brief comment, and it's not going to be popular. I want to give this disclaimer up front. This comment is not going to be popular. I know that, but I'd like your opinion on it.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from North Carolina.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well,
hopefully it's all as well with you from what's been
going on. We hope so.
Yes. Everything's beautiful.
Okay.
So in listening to the show, I'm really enjoying it,
but I'm
struggling with some of the narrative, and I'm going to tell you why in this brief comment. As it relates to the Me Too movement, I know that you all are familiar with Tarana Burke, right? The founder of the Me Too movement, a black woman, right?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
having said that, I wanna understand this. Here's what I'm struggling with. Now, as it relates to the mainstream media and the sex scandals with CBS and other mainstream media outlets, I'm finding that there's a dichotomy or some kind of juxtaposition with this Me Too movement. I feel like, and this is just me, I feel like the Me Too movement has been hijacked by feminists. And I say that because there are women who are hired into that industry, right? White women, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand that this is a good old boy infrastructure. They know that before they get hired. They go in understanding that. And they go in understanding that they have a leg in the game, right? That they have one up on other women. Now, having said that, I want you to understand where I'm coming from. Now, these women know that this climate exists in mainstream media, in corporate America.
Yes.
Yet they go into it, right? And then when they get in there, knowing that this is a good old boy infrastructure, right? They then encounter these problems of sexual harassment or whatever it is. But my question is to the white woman. How is it that you go into a den of foul behavior and then expect a conscientious behavior that is conducive to growth and betterment and upward mobility of all people to be displayed? See, they know this going in. And the reason I say that there is a feminist infrastructure that has hijacked this movement, I feel like when black women are sexual harassed, when they do get these positions, they are not heard from. Nobody cares. This is why I don't respect the feminist movement.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the feminist movement, as well as the Me Too movement, is a movement to strategically place white women in a linear position with a white man. I don't see how it helps the black woman with sexual harassment. We're talking about this. It's all going on. But nobody is understanding the black woman's plight in this. Again, this is why I don't respect feminism. I no longer respect the Me Too movement. Because if we're going to feel like only white women get touched and sexually harassed, then we are lost. We are
Can
lost
I say
and sadly mistaken. Please do say something,
because I
feel strongly about this.
I'm going to forget what I had to say.
Hold on one second. Before I give it to you, Tisha, I want to go to Carter from North Carolina. Thank you. I wish I could come down and hug you, because I agree with you 100%. But that just me. I'll just let you know, you really pissed a lot of people off. But Tisha, go right ahead.
I was just going to say, in reference to what she said, it was founded by a black woman. Have you ever seen when a black woman shows her power and her strength that the white woman fears that, in the sense of what you just said, I'm referring that to? So the movement has been turned, like I said, into something made for Hollywood now. A lot of people forget that it was a black woman that founded that.
Well, we did discuss a while back that white people has put their hand in that pot and took over that movement and exposed it for all
Well,
reasons.
Yes, they did.
Exposed
they,
it
they,
with
they
fear
have.
Being. That's when I keep on saying it's now turned in
exactly.
for Hollywood. That's what I'm trying to explain.
Hollywood and mainstream, because you know what? Now that this Me Too movement, they've taken over it. And you know what? It's like they're making it, and I'm sure a lot of you will agree, they're making it more about them, about what they're going through. You know, they're turning it into their show.
So, overall, should we be upset that the Me Too movement got hijacked, like everything else got hijacked in our lives? Like when black people start something, it seemed like it hijacked by the white people? Should we be upset
course.
About
well, isn't
that?
Isn't that the famous storyline?
It is. It's been going on for centuries, man. Come on now. It's been going on for years.
Before I go back to the caller, Sean Black.
if you look through history, all of the times that we've talked about anything happening in a minority community, African American, Hispanic, etc., anytime something starts, it starts at the genesis of something and tends to change over time. We know how President Trump hijacked the anthem protests, so we know that's not even what it once was. Going into what you're talking about as far as the Me Too movement, there's a lot of similarity in that as well, because the genesis of it, although the premise behind it was to help women that were in the situation be heard and to enact action so things can happen, a lot of the narrative probably has been hijacked and taken to a different route, a different direction. And I think one of the things that actually hurt the Me Too movement was, if you remember this actress named Aja Argento, who is one of the helped as a strong supporter of the Me Too movement, and she actually is in her own sexual harassment issues herself with a person who was 17 years old, and she was 33, supposedly having an affair with a 17-year-old, and that's, at the time, a statutory rape. Now, whether that actually is going to be the case hurts the credibility of a lot of people within that Me Too movement, especially since she was so looked at high up the, quote-unquote, up the food chain of the celebrities that have actually been part of the Me Too movement and promote the Me Too movement for what it was made for. As far as it being hijacked, it's a strong opinion, but there seems to be certain instances where you may be correct on some level with a lot of this stuff, because you don't hear a lot of African Americans bringing up their own authentic truths about things that have happened within the Me Too movement for themselves that have helped in the betterment of it, unless they are celebrities.
Sean Black, it has been hijacked. It's been proven over the years been hijacked, especially by white women. I'm sorry.
It's kind of like like the Kaepernick Nike ad. That's what I was talking to you guys about last week. They hijacked that, turned it. We forgot Black Lives Matter. Now we're going to go buy these Nikes because it's their 30th anniversary. And, oh, they have Kaepernick on that high. Did you forget his cause that he was fighting for?
And unfortunately, Kaepernick has been, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because unfortunately, he's been used as a guinea pig.
What do you mean he was used as a guinea pig? He signed up for it. He got paid. So it was his choice.
Yeah, but now they're overriding it. They're using it as a ride. Where were they when he started his movement? Did anyone else have his back?
They didn't have his back. If Nike went up to you and asked you, you know what, do you want to do this commercial? They give you XYZ and you want to do it. But Nike's job is to promote the sneakers and make money, and it worked. It was a win-win situation. I understand what you guys are talking about, but overall, you can't blame Nike. You know, their job is...
I'm not blaming Nike. I'm saying, didn't they kind of hijack his purpose and what he was fighting for?
Yes.
Why didn't they have a little at the bottom, maybe an RIP to the person that he was kneeling for?
I'm
you understand my point?
Hey, but excuse me. But you got people... Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. I want to know this. I want to know who the gentleman is that said Kaepernick got paid. I need to know your name.
I am the Hot Rod. He got paid millions of dollars.
The Hot Rod. I need to tell you this, sir.
Go ahead.
Respect to you. Because you are speaking to me. Those are my sentiments exactly. And I think that we, as the general public, we struggle because we lack the knowledge to understand the business of these industries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kaepernick, we need to understand, is a millionaire. Understand that.
Yes,
understand that. Yes,
well,
he got paid by Nike, but here's what we're missing as a people. The John Q. public is missing. These are businesses. They are about the business of making money. While we're being emotional, these people are cashing in on our emotions. They take our emotions and they create ideas from them. They create because they are void of creating things. They are void of spiritual essence. So what they do is the Me Too movement, the actions of belligerent police, battering and beating, I don't like to say minorities, but people of different nationalities and different hues of color. They exploit those people, and then they turn it into a money-making miracle. You understand what I'm saying?
I want him to know,
I agree with you. I wish we could see it. I wish we could see this thing for what it is. And I want to say this, and I'm going to get out of you guys' way. As far as the black man that was killed by the police officer, listen, she killed a Hispanic man, and it was very questionable. And what did she tell? What did she say in her report? He was addressing me in a threatening manner. You see, this woman should not be a police officer, number one. She is a murderer, and we shouldn't even consider her going into the wrong apartment. You know what my son told me? He said, Mom, what they were doing when they allowed that 24-hour period before they interrogated her and took her blood test, they were helping her get her story together. Yeah. See, she's excuse my expressions, but she's what you call a Billy Badass, and we are here trying to figure out, well, how did you go into the wrong apartment? Forget all that. This is murder. And if you don't see it as that, you're going to struggle in this culture. That's what I need for you to know.
But to your point, where is the Black Lives Matter making noise about this part?
Maybe the Black Lives Matter is being silenced in the media. They're doing their work, but they're being silenced.
They're a business as well. You don't see Black Lives Matter when babies are killed. You don't see them when women are raped and burned and killed. And I don't mean to sound, atrocious with these statements, but understand this. Anything mainstream is a business. It is a money-making tool. The only thing that is authentic is grassroots. So when the people understand that the media is not their friend, then they can make some changes. Then they can begin to live in harmony. Until that, you will not be able to deal with the issues that are in mainstream media because they don't cover anything that they don't have a dollar in that they can't turn.
Carla, well, I love you, Carla. I love you. I need you on the show.
I've brought up before on the show, which a lot of people also don't really realize, African Americans in the United States are a $1 trillion markup as far as what they have as far as buying power in this country. People don't realize how much money the African-American dollar is worth. And as we've all stated before on this show before, money is always power. If you know where more importantly, to spend your money and resources, then you can actually start doing something that will affect media, businesses, stores, livelihoods, neighborhoods, et cetera, et cetera. And it all falls into a long line that will trickle down at some point. The problem is a lot of the culture that African Americans and all minorities in this country seem to have been taught since Lord knows how long is not necessarily how to spend that money, how to use that money and that power. It's just, I'm poor, I've got my hands full of money, let me go buy stuff that I couldn't get before. As opposed to figuring out how to hold on to that money, teach the person that is across the street from us, that's down the block, that's in the next block, and do that the right way. They're not taught that, and that's why this kind of thing continues to happen.
You know what? You hit the nail right on the head. You hit the nail right on the head. I agree 100% because that's another thing. We're not taught how to economize, and that's the sad part about it because, like Sean said, I have money now. You know what? I'm going to get all the things I couldn't afford. And perfect example, I could give you another one. You know, even though it may not be the best, but I could think back years ago, there was a gentleman right here in New York City who hit the lottery. He was a bus driver who hit the lottery not once but twice. He hit the big time. And here we are, fast forward to 2018. I later found out that he was broke. And the reason why he went broke is because he didn't use his money the the wise way. He took the money and spent it on cars. He spent it on clothes. He spent it on houses and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and who knows what else. And I'm like, you know, you've got to be, unfortunately, we're not taught about how to economize. And that's the sad part about it.
Yeah, but you guys talk about all this, but what about for the caller that's from North Carolina? We have a situation here with the North, with the Asian people, how there have been protests going on over the nail salons and wig places,
right,
that the fake hair, how they treat black people. And they're like, we had like protests and fights many times, but overall they still continue to support Asian stores.
Yes, they do.
Buying fake hair and nail salons.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can I tell you what it is? First of all, if you research the beauty supply industry, hair and nail, if you research that industry, you will understand that the American government handed that industry to the Asian man. That was his enticement for bringing the Asian man over here to America in the early 70s and more profoundly in the 80s on up through today. I think what we have here is a lack of understanding. Most people do not understand that poverty is advantageous. That's where all the money is made. And I know it sounds crazy to you, but I worked in a bank, putting myself through college, and I can tell you what I always noticed. I knew when people didn't have any money because they always had a car note to pay. They always had a low savings account, and they would cash their check and never deposit any of it. The people who had real estate and who had savings, they would always only take no more than 30% of their check, and they would deposit into a savings account or create an account that would pay their mortgage from their savings account. Right? Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that we don't realize how profitable poverty is. Nobody makes money off the wealthy. That's a misnomer. Wealthy people know how to avoid taxes. They get perks and benefits that other folks don't get. We don't understand that racism is automated, just like everything else has automated and has been technology, has been technically advanced. Redlining is on a higher level now. So what I'm saying is,
rich people don't spend money. Poor people spend money.
Poor
yes,
people spend the most money. Yes, they do. They spend the most money. they buy the. Yes,
yeah.
they.
It's
they,
true.
You know what? I learned in college that the reason they would say in early America, they would say, well, you look like an immigrant, because the immigrant would put on the best things that they have when they were coming over to America in the ship, all their jewelry. Somebody that lost a fur or somebody that died had some new shoes. They would put on everything valuable that they had, and when they stepped off the ship, they were looking like clowns. The businessmen knew that these were the people that you could get money from, because they wanted in their spirit and their very soul to be seen as equivalent to the Joneses and to the people who had. But they didn't realize that the people who had would wear one pair of duck boots for 10 years, get the soles resurfaced and refixed. You see what I'm saying? Drive the same car. This is how the loan industry for automobile loans, this is how they blew up. It's poor people that are getting all these car loans who can't afford them. You see, if you look at documentaries on the hood and poor areas, you'll see a shack, but they'll have a nice car with some rims sitting in the front. You see what I'm saying? Poor people spend the most money, and when they realize that they are the nucleus, that they don't have to buy all this junk and glitter and bling, when they realize who they are and that it's their spirit that everybody is siphoning off of, I believe then they can come up in the world. I honestly believe that.
And the other thing that you also look at, if you want to equate those two also, the other thing that you don't see a lot of rich people do is get sick early in life. And the reason why that happens is because of the bad food, about a lot of the things that happen, et cetera, et cetera. You don't hear a lot of the people that have the money have to deal with the health care situations that poorer people have to go through. If they do get sick, they have more than enough money and a better way to get better than people that are in other situations that don't have the health care. And you hear about all of the stuff that's been going on in the news with health care being shuttered around and all of the things that are happening. We hear about voter ID fraud that they're trying to peddle to keep black people mostly
from voting.
And Hispanics from voting. Laws on the books that make sure that if you have some sort of a felony or some misdemeanor, you can no longer vote.
Blocks you from voting.
Small things happen in little increments that people don't realize. And
when
you
going
don't
on for
realize
years.
It, it fall right in your lap and you have the kinds of situations that you just spoke about.
It's funny that you say that, because when you understand that the Asian community, they make food for black and Hispanic people that they don't eat themselves, and they make foods that create hypertension, diabetic scenarios, heart failure. It's laden with salt and sugar. It's the bottom of the barrel kind of foods, and the only people that you see eating it are black and Hispanic.
That's true.
You won't see an Asian restaurant that low caliber type in the upscale white communities. They don't allow mini malls. You don't see the nail shops, the wig shops, and the orange chicken or fried rice. You won't see that there.
That's true. Tisha, anything else you'd like to add on before I go to the new caller?
Mm-mm. Everything was well said.
I'm trying to get to the new caller right now. But it's true. You don't see half chicken with dog rib tips in the white community.
Or cat lo mein.
It's true. Think about it. When you eat those barbecue spare ribs, you don't know if it's dog meat or pig meat. It all tastes good, as long as you put sauce on it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to get to the other quarter, but it's not working. Oh, well. Anything else y'all guys like to add on about the cop killing? Well, you guys were upset overall that it was planted that they made a story that one of the main reasons why the woman cop came to the apartment because he had quote unquote weed in the apartment.
Oh police, come on, man, that story never changes. It's always, you know what it is. Let me tell you something. Every time, whenever a person of color is murdered by the police, and I do say murdered, they always try to plant some kind of that they had weed, that they had something on them. I'm like, come on, man. The bottom line was this. This guy was at home watching TV, and this woman busting and, claiming that it was she mixed apartments. I mean, come on, man. Who are you fooling with that? Please, don't. Nah.
This has become the modus operandi of a lot of instances. When you hear about any kind of crime or any kind of foul up or something along the lines, when you see either a police officer involved, whether they're white or whatever is the case, the first thing that happens is if the victim, who is either shot, killed, etc., has something happen, the first thing that they do is to assassinate that person's character. They go into looking for a reason. Oh, well, they must have deserved what happened because he 30 years ago got into a fight with a school's crossing guard.
Yeah.
Oh, they found weed in his apartment. Oh, he was drinking in front of a school. They will find the smallest things to pick away at, and that deflection of what happens when you're trying to steer away from the actual fact. The fact remains, this cop, for those that don't know the story, to think about how goofy this sounds. A cop with a key fob that is only used for a particular door in this apartment complex went to the wrong place, and the key fob supposedly opens up the door. Thinking that this is her apartment, she got into the wrong apartment, saw the silhouette of a black man, decided to, quote-unquote, say, stop, hold it, whatever, and then fired two shots into the dark at a silhouette that she thought was a burglar, that
mm-hmm.
makes no sense at all. And for anybody to think about that.
The story never changes, Sean. It never changes. Time and time again,
overall,
we hear the same thing going on.
But like I told Tisha overall earlier, we don't know the whole story. We don't know what really happened. I won't be surprised if they know each other or they were dated at one time.
And
now
we do know the whole story. They have two witnesses.
Remember, I told you off air, I had a feeling that with all of this stuff going on, I would not be surprised that they had dated each other.
Yeah,
something went bad and something ended up happening because there's just way too many pieces of this story missing.
Yeah, the witnesses said there was arguing outside. They heard commotion. That means apparently she did not enter the door. I do not be surprised it was some type of fatal attraction or they were dating. Or something, but there's no way this woman, being a cop, you went to the wrong apartment, saying that you don't know what you was doing, but you was able to pull out a gun and fire two shots toward the torso.
And actually, investigating a noise complaint from one of the witnesses, like they said it was maybe she had an issue with his noise complaint, something. But still, I just want to know with her, thinking it's the wrong door, why she's not getting tested for, heroin, she was drunk or something, I don't know what's going on.
Exactly, there's a whole lot of things going on with this.
And even more, the indignity of the fact that she was able to get off for $300,000 bond, and it wasn't looked at as a murder charge, it was looked at as a manslaughter charge.
Right,
which is
murder where they could have maybe dropped it to manslaughter.
Based on the story that we know of, and even though we know they're going to do more investigation on the story, this story sounds so much more, in a different way, like so many other stories we have heard and talked about on this show over the last 4 years, where we hear about a cop doing something and then trying to cover their own behind by, like you stated before, it sounded like they were trying to delay to try to get the story straight, so that everybody can come out on the same side, because this story, from the time I heard it, that it sounded fishy.
There's a lot to be said about it.
But to the court of North Carolina, do you see this as example of white privilege?
I see it as the blue line, the thin blue line that people often talk about, but we don't take into consideration. But I have a question for everybody on this panel. As it relates to this murder, when you walk into your home, wherever you live, your apartment, your house, your condo, wherever you live, and it's dark, you're coming in from work, when you open, when you put your key in that door and you open it and you step your foot in, what is the first thing you do? I just would like to hear you all tell me, what is the first thing you do?
You turn the light on. Turn on the light.
I'm going to run. If I see a shadow...
No, not if you see a shadow, but what is the first thing you do when you open your front door?
You turn on the light. Or you have
that's the first thing that I do, and that's everyone that I've talked to, that's the first thing they do. So if she thought this was her place, then she would have known where the light was. She would have turned it on. She would have set her keys down, because that's what you do. You set your keys down wherever you set your keys. And then you go about the business of relieving yourself of the day. This is murder, right? And I am in agreement with the brothers who said there was some type of relationship. This is a murderer. This woman right here, she has a huge ego. And what the Dallas Police Department needs to show people is her psychological evaluation when she got hired. We need to understand how she feels about integrity and how she feels about the law. That's what we want to see, because this woman has a huge ego. She has killed two men, and apparently they were going to let her off again, but this, spiraled out of control with other people, grassroots people, talking about it. And so we are allowing them to tell us that he had weed in his place, but he was in the privacy of his own home, sleep. From what I understand, she shot him in his bedroom. And when the people said they heard her saying, "Let me in," that lets me know that she knew of this man.
Yes,
you
because
don't
they
say
also
that
heard
to a
banging.
Stranger.
I believe they heard banging on the door, and then they also heard him say, "Oh God, what are you doing? Or what are you doing? Why would you do that?" So
Doesn't it sound like they were familiar with one another?
Of course. That's the reason why I think I wouldn't be surprised if they were dating or they were an item that broke off in, you know, fan relationship.
And it was a bad relationship that broke up.
Or maybe they had sex and he said, hey, I'm just not into you like that. And she said, okay, you're not going to leave me. That's what you're not going to do. And she killed it, that man.
Hey, white girls are crazy sometimes. What can I say, you know?
Crazy.
But we have 5 minutes left. There's a question I'd like to ask everyone. It's a social media question. If you guys date someone for a certain XYZ amount of time, and, of course, we all have mutual friends. So let's say between you and your partner, you break up. Do you start with the ladies? Do you ladies still keep your mutual friends, or do you, you know, delete it? We'll start with Tisha first.
Oh, I'm gonna pass on this question. I don't know the answer yet.
Okay, caller from North Carolina.
Well, here's the thing: when you need to break off a relationship, an intimate conjugal relationship, and you guys establish friends as a result of that relationship, it's unfortunate, but you're going to have to let that those other relationships go as well. Because if you're struggling with a breakup, then every time you talk to the other people, it's going to be about reminding you of when you were with that person. So if you're going to move on, you need to move on. And just cut it. That's how I feel.
Sean Black?
That's a very difficult thing to do. But I think it also depends on how long the relationships were as far as the friendships go. But in respect to the person that you are closest to, that's something that you have to consider, especially if it's through social media. I don't know if it's like an interpersonal relationship with somebody that you know, but social media-wise, that's probably a much easier thing to do to move on than if it's, let's say, you know somebody, you break up with the person, but you're friends with that person's ex or something along those lines. That becomes a very, very iffy situation because a lot of people, it's like, oh, I'm your friend, but I'm also her friend or his friend. What do I do? Whose friendship do you value more, or if you value both?
Well, there's a way of just keeping mutual and to stay out of the business, you know, overall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, we all have friends that date other friends and or married friends, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens. Because one person is more closer than the other. That's all.
That's understandable.
I think if someone keeps asking about so-and-so, I'm a type of person, you guys know me, I'm like, it's not my business or not my place to talk about it overall.
Yeah.
But I said what a quarter means, let it go. You need to move on.
Yeah.
But K-Dawg,
but you don't want to interject yourself into it. If
because
you, can.
You know what? It's a difficult situation, but you know, especially if like you said, if you're friends with so that person's the two people are no longer together. And, you know, mutual friends, it's a no-win situation because damned if you do, damned if you don't. Okay, you're going to have to delete some friends. And, you know, it's going to be difficult, but you're going to have to because especially when you're moving on from a relationship, it's a very difficult decision to make, but it has to be done.
Especially in respect to the feelings of the person that you're supposed to be the closest to.
Right.
That can be very, very tricky. Even if you have a kinship with the other person, the person that is going through the breakup is going to have the hardest time dealing with it, I guess, if you are friends with the other person and you're on Facebook or on whatever social media
and
you still see them in their
the
feed.
Person.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. On this note, caller from North Carolina, may we have a name or what's your name, please?
My name is Sapphire.
Sapphire, you called on the show before?
No, I've never called in before.
Okay.
And I have a quick question. As it relates to this question that you just posed to us, the couple that have broken up, what about the person that didn't want to break up? They have mutual friends, but they've got to see pictures of vacation and travel on Facebook. They've got to see hugged up and everything. And wait a minute, and have got to make the mutual friends feel uncomfortable because now they got to hide pictures and not talk about how they went to an engagement party of the ex. You know, I'm saying I feel like it's just safe to move on. If you love me, you're going to let me go peacefully. That's yeah. how I feel. And if you're a mature right. person, you're going to respect that.
That's true. Well, guys, thank you so much. We got to go. Tune in next Monday night. Thank you all once again. Tisha, Sapphire, Kato, Stop.